Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. The Annunciation, some would say, of the coming of the Messiah. Annunciation, to proclaim, to announce, to make known. This past Thursday and Friday, we were over in Grand Rapids, and on Thursday, Luke, who was in the eighth grade, we got to hear him and his chorus or choir sing. And may I say, it's good to hear Christian songs at Christmas time. Of course, they go to a Christian school, so I guess probably why they can have Christmas songs at their Christmas program. And then Marlena is in the high school orchestra, and she told me that when all the choir and all the orchestra would be on the platform, there would be about 135 students. And boy, it was something, especially when we were able to have the Hallelujah chorus played. What a blessing. But on Friday, they had the kindergartners through fifth grade do their presentation. And they had it this way. They had a screen, and all of a sudden on the screen it said fourth and fifth graders to the stage. And there was this excitement as the fourth and fifth graders ran from the audience and up to the stage. And once they were all up there, the sign on the screen said third graders to the stage. And boy, they went up there, and it was almost chaos. Then there was one that said second graders to the stage. And the enthusiasm was at a fever pitch, and then the first graders went up. You know, they were announcing this is who was supposed to come up. We find here there was an announcement. There was an announcement to this young lady that this was going to happen. If you would, let's stand together, the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we come again thanking you for the greatest gift ever given. That was the one that provided our salvation, Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we always be mindful of that gift and ever be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 26 tells us, the angel Gabriel. An angel, a messenger. Gabriel, a divine messenger who had appeared to the prophet Daniel and to the priest Zacharias. The Bible tells us clearly that Gabriel had been sent from God, obedient to the wishes of our Lord. This angel Gabriel was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And he was sent to a virgin meaning chaste, pure, undefiled, virtuous, modest, restrained. I think that's a prime example of what many of our teens aren't today, restrained. What many of our young adults are today is unrestrained. There was a time that these that lived in biblical days that were of the Jewish faith, the maidens hoped that they would be the one that would have the Messiah. Everyone that was a virgin, because they knew the book of Isaiah where it talks about a virgin having a child. And they wished for that to be them. This virgin was espoused to Joseph. Espoused meaning to be promised in marriage or engaged. And we'll talk more about that this evening. This man Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, or the ancestry or the family line. And it was very important that he was, because Jesus was coming through the line of David. And Mary also was of the house and lineage of David, but they were through different sons of David. We see in verse 27, that this virgin, this woman, was named Mary. We know that many name their child Mary as a first name or a middle name after this virgin. Note, nowhere in the scriptures do we find that Mary was sinless or that we are to pray to her. Nowhere in the scriptures do we find that Mary was sinless or that we are to pray to her. We find that she was like you and me, a human being who had sinned. But she was highly favored. Shows that she obviously lived a right and proper life. Can you imagine having that title, highly favored with the Lord? That you are one that the Lord thinks of in a high way. I pondered this as I was going through my notes. I thought, how many young ladies today bear the testimony of being a virgin and are highly favored of the Lord? How many young teenage guys can be said that they are a virgin and are highly favored of the Lord? How many of us can say that we are highly favored of the Lord? That we are right with God? Verse 29 tells us that she was troubled when she saw him, the angel, especially at the salutation. Now, that's not a word that most of us use on a regular basis. We would use the word greeting or a welcome. And she was bothered and caught off guard by this, especially what it says there in verse 30, "For thou hast found favor with God." All of us want to be in good favor with our Lord. All of us should desire to want to be used of God. May I say this? God uses those who are usable. God uses those who are right and proper in their lives. Let's begin reading at verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Thou shalt conceive, to beget, to become pregnant with child. I believe it's important that we realize that the Bible says that not only would they be pregnant, but they were with child. How important it is that we realize that children are a gift of God. And they are to be special in our eyes. But not only shall you have a child, it will be a son. And just as Gabriel told Zacharias that he was to have a son, so Gabriel told Mary that she would have a son. Thus Mary named her divinely begotten son Jesus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, meaning God is Savior. And we know that our Lord is our Savior. All of us want to think of our child as the best child. Now, my parents had the best child. I have to say that. You know what they say? He that bloweth not his horn will not be blown. Did I say that close to being right? Close enough? Good. Thank you. But all of us want to think that our kid is special, don't you? Didn't you want to think your kid is special? Ask Todd over here. He wants to tell you that his daughters are special. Right, Todd? Absolutely. You know, we want to think of our kids as special. We want to think of our grandkids as special. I mentioned that we were there in Grand Rapids, and our granddaughter, Shayla, third grade, had a solo part. Now, she was one of about 12 people that had solo parts. About 12. Maybe 10. 8? About 12. Am I close? Very good. But who was the best? She was. Did you hear that, folks? I didn't say it. Donna did. She was the best. Yeah. You know, you want to think of your child as the best. Look how Mary's child is going to be described. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is going to happen to your son. Part of it was the fact that he came, he died for us, but he is coming again, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. Verses 34 through 38. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary asks a logical question. How shall this be? How can this be? I know no man. I am pure. I am a virgin. I have never been intimate. How can this be? A logical question. Gabriel's response, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and shall overshadow thee. There was no physical interaction between Mary and the Holy Ghost, or she would not have been a virgin, but she was overshadowed. Matthew 1:23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Mary was that virgin, as we well know. Now, we live in a day and age in which news can cross many states and many miles very quickly. You can find out things that happened on the other side of the world within moments. Not so in Mary's day. Her cousin Elizabeth has been pregnant how long? 6 months. Does Mary know it? Mary doesn't know. How could that be? I mean, nobody's texted her. Boy, how did we survive before cell phones, folks? How would we survive today without them, someone would ask. But she has a child, because nothing is impossible with God. But notice verse 38, and I don't know if you're like this, but certain phrases catch your attention. Notice, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Do you think it was easy to be Mary? It wasn't easy to be Mary. Today, we have a different opinion about a female that gets pregnant out of wedlock. In that day and age, they could have taken Mary out and stoned her. At that day and age, she would have looked down upon, and she would be looked on through probably her whole life as having a child that was conceived out of wedlock. Because they knew that Joseph was engaged to her. But you know what they say? It takes 9 months to have a child unless it's the first one. Have you never heard that before? Yeah. That's because Sometimes women are pregnant before they get married. And Mary would have been considered, whoa, you know Mary. Oh, yeah, Mary. She had that. She was pregnant before her and Joseph came together. There would have been doubt in the minds of her parents and siblings and relatives and friends about this young woman who had gotten into trouble. And she would have always been looked on as being suspect. But being right with God does not mean a world of ease and comfort. Being right with God can put you right sometimes in the middle of problems. Being right with God sometimes can put you right in the middle of controversy. Now that was the introduction. Now begins the sermon. Jesus as Savior. His saving name, thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name means Savior. God, in measuring the depth of man's need, can only meet that need by the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. We need to remember, and I'm sure most of you have heard this again and again, that we cannot save ourselves. That we can only be saved through the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God looked at our need and realized that there was only one that could provide the need. As a Savior, he saves us from sin. Matthew 1:21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Sin. We think of what happened over in Connecticut. Sin. We think of that as sin, but do you realize that all of us sin on a regular basis? Not to the magnitude, praise the Lord, of that, but we all sin. We find that he saves us from self. Do you ever find that you get in the way of doing the right things? That you know what the right thing is, but sometimes you just simply get in the way? Self. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He saves us from sin, he saves us from self, and he saves us from this present evil world. And folks, we do live in an evil world. There is sin running rampant throughout our world. We have wars throughout our world. We have people who steal and take from others. We have people who are doing horrible things. We were there in the Grand Rapids area, and anytime we have extra time in Grand Rapids, Donna wants to go over to Rockford. Anybody ever been to Rockford, Michigan? There is a place there where they will sell you shoes that are reduced rate. How are they worn? No, they haven't been worn. What do you call that? A shoe outlet place. Okay. I can walk in there and I can find 785 pair of shoes that'll fit me. My wife, because she has dainty feet, can rarely ever find any. But she did buy a pair. Have you worn them yet? Are you going to wear them? Maybe. Okay. But afterwards, we went down into town and we ate at Arnie's. Anybody ever eat at an Arnie's? Yeah, there's an Arnie eater. Of course, you have grandparents in Grand Rapids. Yes. And we walked around the little town. And of course, like little towns, they'll have different places. And there was a store called the War Chest. That's what it's called. I mean, does that catch your imagination, War Chest? And what it is doing, it is selling things to raise money to help those who are those who have been taken into human trafficking. Do you know what human trafficking is? It is a horrendous sin. They prey on the poor. They go to third world countries and they tell them, well, if you give us X number of dollars, we'll get you to America or we'll get you to Europe and we'll find a better situation and a better place for you. And in almost all cases, these females, and it's usually females, They are taken into prostitution, pornography, and those type of situations. See, we live in an evil world. See, we would think, who would do this? And yet, for the love of money, people will lie and steal and put other humans into dangerous situations. Now, you probably have all read about this human trafficking, and you wouldn't think that that could survive in America. It's alive and well in America. And it's a multi-million dollar a year business of bringing people here and putting them in these positions. Why? Because we live in a wicked world. We hear of people that drink and drive and end up killing people, like the football player a couple of weeks ago. The other football player that killed the mother of his child and killed himself. Wickedness. Wickedness. And then humanists come along and tell you, well, homosexuality is okay. Read the Old Testament and find out what they did to the sodomites. Do you think God wants people to be sodomites?
No.
You know what sodomites are, don't you? Homosexuals. When they had revival in Israel, part of it was always they got rid of the sodomites. They always got rid of them. You look at the coming destruction of kingdoms and of nations, it's when the homosexuals began to run free. There must be at least 10 righteous people in America, because God hasn't destroyed us yet. But how much longer will he be patient with America and our willingness to say that they have a right to exist? Now, I know that there are those who say, well, why don't they have a choice? It has nothing to do with Pastor Paul. God said. God said. We have abortions, abortion clinics. The other day I was listening to a woman defending abortion clinics. And I just almost got sick. She says, oh yeah, we keep our abortion clinic clean. I don't care how clean it is. God said that a man who has many children is blessed. And they are children. They're children. We live in a corrupt world, folks. We live in a world that thinks, well, if it's not hurting anybody, but sin does hurt people. He saves us from sin, he saves us from self, and he saves us from this present evil world. We find that he has a wonderful character. He shall be great. He is the Son of the Highest. We find in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, as a child he was born and as a son he was given. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And yet, as great as he was obedient unto death, willing to do the right thing. He is great in love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He was great in power. He told his disciples in Matthew, he said he told his disciples that all power was given unto him. We find he has a glorious prospect. Now you say, well, glorious prospect. What was that glorious prospect? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He came to the world knowing he would die on a cross. Before the foundations of the world were even created, he knew he would come and die. Some would say, well, why did he bother then? Well, why didn't he not create the world? And yet it was the plan of God. And he did this, for he knew there was a need. May I say this? There is a need to get Bibles into the hands of people around the world. There is a need. Now, let's be honest with it. You probably have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 Bibles, don't you? Because what do you do with your old Bibles? You don't want to throw them away. I mean, it's kind of like the American flag. What do you do with it? It gets old, and what do I do with the flag? Well, what do you do with your old Bibles? Well, you keep them. But there are people in this world, they don't have Bibles. There are born-again, Bible-believing people who don't have Bibles. there is a need. That's why one of the reasons we're having our Christmas offering this year, go towards Bibles. He knew there was a need, and he provided what was needed. It was necessary, and he provided what was needed. My wife has for many, many years made gingerbread houses. And one thing that gingerbread houses need is what, Donna? What do you have to put in a gingerbread house? Well, okay, that is in the construction of the gingerbread house. But you have to put candy inside. Well, what would you think of a gingerbread house without any candy inside? It would be empty. But she got candy. Candy was needed. And it's going to be provided. We needed a way of salvation, and he provided it. He was what was needed. He was what was needed. We have some new tracks here in our track rack out there. Have our names printed on the back. It's called the bridge because there is an abyss between us and God. And the Lord provided the bridge, the cross. He gave himself for you and me. Now, probably by this point in time, the majority of you have begun your Christmas shopping. Dad, have you done your Christmas shopping yet? No, not at all. Dr. Fleming, have you?
Quite a bit.
Good job, buddy. That's great. Judy's excited. Yes. Now, I would imagine that most of you have begun your Christmas shopping. You probably have said, okay, I have to get this for these people and this for those people. And you've begun to calculate how much money you have. And you want to make sure. And I read this the other day that if you want to make sure you come out of the holiday season with the right amount of debt, take cash. And leave your credit cards at home. I read that and I thought to myself, take cash. And I looked in my wallet and I thought, Donna, you're getting about $12 worth of stuff. But Christ gave the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift. The unspeakable gift, it is called in 2 Corinthians. You know, the church gives you a calendar. I wish we could say that we are going to give each and every one of you, if you've been here 52 Sundays this year, if you've been here 52 Sundays, we're going to give you $1,000. Wouldn't that be great? How many of you would be in favor of that? The rest of you just are looking at me like I'm nuts. But let me ask you this. If we were indeed giving away $1,000 because you'd been here 52 Sundays, how many of us would get the $1,000? But see, God gave us a gift that is priceless. Amen. Priceless. Have you accepted that gift? Amen. And if you have, are you proud of it? Amen. And want to tell others about it? Shall we stand together, 375, just as I am? Without one plea. If you've never accepted the Lord as Savior, he's waiting. And he wants you to come just as you are. And if you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, are you proud of it? I'm not in a wrong way, but in the fact that you are so glad that you are a born-again believer. And are you willing to share that with others? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation time. For Lord, we know it's time in which people can settle some things with you and get things right. We pray, Lord, now that no one would be embarrassed or shy about coming and praying if they need to do so. We ask that the Spirit would move and hearts made right. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.